Well, believe it or not, people are saying that Donald Trump might be leaving the race. I don't believe it for a second, but that's the claim out there. And there's a lot of frustration with Trump over his style. Nobody needs, nobody in living in America right now who has a TV or the internet needs to be told that Trump's style can be bracing. It can be challenging. And that he's worn out his welcome with some people. But in the midst of many problems for the Clinton campaign and many personal issues with Hillary and her unfavorable marks being so high, and more than 50%, 60% of the people say that she's a dishonest person. She's leading in the polls. It looks like she's up by about 10. Do I have any advice for Mr. Trump? Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. But first, I would like anybody who's has any interest in this race on either side, who has any belief in a higher power at all, to pray for both of these candidates, because one of these two people, unless something strange, like, you know, Hillary has one of her famous coughing fits and has to go to the hospital, or Donald Trump says, I don't need this, I'm a billionaire, and leaves and somebody else comes in, one of these candidates is going to be leading the country, and they both need a lot of prayer, if you know what I mean. Supposedly, Trump had recently become a Christian, but if you could imagine living a high-profile, high-stress life like Trump does, one of the most famous people in America, and then ramping it up by 10 or 100 or 1,000 times, I think he's feeling the heat, and I think he's finding out one of the well-known doctrines of revolutions is that it's difficult for the revolutionary to lead a country or society. It's two different skill sets, and I think we see that in Trump. He's still kind of lashing out at people. By no means is this campaign over. But what he's got to see is that all of these things that are coming up are going to be misused by the media. The media doesn't like him ultimately because he disagrees with their ideas. And there's a story that has come out that has said that basically Hillary Clinton is looking to take not just Trump out of the race, but they're trying to destroy the Trump movement. Now, if you think about that, Trump is one person. And like all of us, he's very infatuated with himself, or he's very, very, maybe, I don't know, distracted would be a better way to describe it. So we all tend to be caught up in our own ideas and issues and history and everything. But the story of Trump is really the story of America. It's about one person, male or female, who stands up and says, the system is wrong. There's corruption, there's misuse, there's misdirection, there's waste, and we got to change things. And, you know, he's working at a pretty high level. And if he can basically stick with the program and shift gears, and what does he need to do? In my opinion, you know, and he's raising a lot of money. So he's a wealthy guy, and they're not large donations. They're smaller donations, and he's getting $60, $80, $100 million for campaigning in these cycles, in these monthly cycles. But he really needs to move on to the theme of his campaign and his life, is to make things better, to challenge the status quo. Stop wasting your time insulting people. That's one of the things, if I had 5 minutes with them, it's not that you're bigger than that. And we all feel like getting into it with people that irritate us, but getting caught up in arguments with little people, and I mean little in terms of their status or their importance at the moment, is distracting you from what you probably feel like is your calling, is your purpose in the universe, your God-given direction, and get to it, you know, and you don't want your enemies to define you, which is in history, what, what happens a lot of times. You know, a lot of nicknames that come out of history are derived from the enemies of people. So, or groups to either, you know, kind of state their bad parts or whatever, or mislead. But anyway, we've got another supervening story here, a story that's kind of risen up during the night. There was a knife attack from a kid from Africa. And my guess, I don't know if it's a Muslim attack, but it seems like the kid is Muslim. Here's what I'm worried about with all of this stuff going on out there is there's radical Islam. You know, there's people that are Muslim that are not violent. Those people are not the problem, will probably never be any part of the problem. Then you've got radical Islam, ISIS, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, Muslim Brotherhood. And you've got sleeper cells that might be influenced by these in various local groups. Groups that you've never even heard of operating in various countries that are a part of radical Islam. But then the scariest thing to me, and the thing that I think that we need to in some ways be the most wary of, is that there are people out there, there's a lot of unhappy, unfulfilled people that have a Muslim background and may not be, in theory, opposed to jihad. It seems like more and more of these unhinged, unhappy people, who are invariably young men, are flipping out and attacking Westerners. And, you know, it's terrible, but I mean, it's an element. Excuse me, a little something in my throat, but it's terrible because you don't know when any of these individuals, they have speaking of a God-given calling, these people feel like they're called to do this stuff. And it's event after event where these people are flipping out and doing this stuff. So, you know, I don't know what we're going to do about it. I can guarantee you that the biggest issue in this campaign we're talking about is not going to end up being this guy Khan, even though Khan pulled a con on everybody. He works for Hillary Clinton. Excuse me. Pardon me. I've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, it's Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning. Did you read about the D.C. police officer who was recruiting for ISIS?
I just saw the headline. I didn't get into it. What did it say?
Just that he was doing some undercover stuff that he was recruiting for ISIS. I'm not sure about it either. I haven't fully investigated it yet, but I was interested if you had known anything about it.
Well, I mean, it's kind of what we're talking about, isn't it, Tom? I mean, we're talking about people, whether they're following somebody else or on their own, feel enabled. And here's the challenge. We've got a couple of challenges, and I don't see that Obama or Hillary is up to it. We've got to stand up, get face-to-face with Islam, and say, you've got to call these people off. You've got to make a major statement about your belief system that it doesn't support martial law. It doesn't support individuals in your faith going out and doing individual acts of sacrifice and murder. Your religion, and if it does support that, you've got to rework it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Thank you, Kelly. I'm in agreement with you in most of the things you are saying.
That means to me you're very mentally healthy.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thanks, Tom. You too. All right, so look, there are things to bring this country together that are, I mean, they're out there. And Donald Trump has got a great ability to pick a fight with. You know, he meets 100 people and picks a fight with 90 of them. I mean, I, and in a way, I kind of admire that. Anybody who's not afraid to fight everybody at once, but that's really not what we need right now. We need somebody with their act together who can see. He should be able to see this. Maybe he's not getting enough sleep. He should be able to see that what is needed is what is needed is for somebody to come on as a leader. And it's not easy to lead, because to be a real leader means you can't be petty. You can't go be motivated by personal ambition to be a true leader. That's why Obama will never be a true leader. He's caught up in this petty belief system, whatever it is, Marxism, socialism, anti-colonialism, race, pro-black. He wants to push his race forward, whatever it is. That keeps him from being able to have sympathy for the people who disagree with him. He's a small-minded person. He's petty. He lives for revenge, you know, and getting his enemies back. And he is, from what I can gather, he's kind of a sabotager when it comes to economics and stuff like that. Just my take on it. But Hillary doesn't really seem to be any different. So we need somebody to come along and put aside smallness and pettiness and personal ambition and this very human, very typical human, you know, go read Shakespeare, this very typical instinct to go get even with people and lead us into the next place that we need to be. I mean, America is about that, you know. 618, I've got a clip of Neil Hooks and I going at it yesterday, I'm not a great tech guy, but I was able to reduce it down to 10 or 15 minutes. It's pretty long. But I thought it was interesting, and I was going to play a little bit of it and get your take on it. I've got Ben Rossen coming in, and then I'm doing some recording with Steve Pierce. So it's going to be pretty tight here. We'll be right back. A little more Van Morrison for you. 619 on the button. Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. And I got my little text friend, 805-6180. And sorry for... sorry for clearing my throat on the air.
Newspaper, USA.
And I'll have a little bit on that attack when we come back.
Have to get back to base. I need to talk to somebody I can trust.
All right, American Werewolf in London. This poor lady, this poor American lady, was killed by this Somali. And by the way, Somali's background, the Somali religious background is largely Muslim. I assume this kid was a Muslim, a Norwegian man of Somali origin. You know, Sweden has become the number two rape capital state in the world. And the vast, vast majority of rapes over there are coming from individuals of Middle Eastern extraction. They're having similar problems in Germany and in France. So what you've got is leadership by people who are, by definition, elites, who believe that their personal impressions, their personal whim, if you want to call it that, and it seems to be a universally held idea that we need in the West to bring in as many Muslims as possible, or and really this isn't even really a Muslim problem. It's a Middle Eastern problem. It is people that are living in another part of the world with vastly different ideas about justice and law, human rights, female rights. under Sharia, if a woman is raped, for there to be a prosecution, and they don't have these traditional legal systems don't have anything like what we have in terms of police and prosecution investigators and stuff like that. And so if a woman accuses a man of rape, she needs four witnesses who, under the Sharia law, have to agree not just in general, but in every detail. And if any of the details are mistaken, then the prosecution is turned around and the four witnesses are prosecuted as if they were the rapist. So rape is basically, from what I've read, in many of these places, is not prosecuted. So think about that. So it's good in these societies that women are not allowed to be out with anybody other than their husband or members of their family. And if a woman is found in a house with a man, this is Sharia, who she's not related to, it is assumed that she's had sex with him. And a woman who gets pregnant a lot of times is prosecuted and then in many of these places stoned to death for having adultery, because they have the fact that even if it is the result of rape. So you got some poor woman living over there, gets raped, becomes pregnant. The evidence of her adultery, or so-called adultery, is she's pregnant. And then the law comes after her, does a prosecution for zina, illegal intercourse, and then she's stoned to death. I mean, that's an interesting life story. All right, here's the woman killed by the Somali knifer.
News alert, an American woman brutally murdered in a bloody knife attack in London Square.
And this is
Russell Square in London.
Right, Steve. This is brand new information on the stabbing spree. It came in just moments ago, and now it hits home.
That's why we're turning to our Benjamin Hawley's live in London with more on the victims and a possible motive. Benjamin?
Yeah, hi, Brian, Anna, and Steve. Yeah, just hearing the last few moments from the Met Police themselves that the lady who was killed in her 60s was an American. We're also learning about the attacker. He was a 19-year-old Somalian-Norwegian national. And previously they had said that a motive here was uncertain. They were pointing towards the possible mental health issues. Well, of course, this has to open up a whole lot of other possibilities. The police also saying that this was a random and spontaneous attack, and that the other injured were from the UK, another American, an Australian, and an Israeli. This is a part of London that has a lot of tourists. It's just around the corner from the British Museum. It would have been very busy at 10:30 last night, and we know that the police responded very quickly, but that was not enough to save these people. The lady in particular, an American, who died. And today, the police are very high alert at the moment, and that is because of all the attacks we've seen around Europe recently. They responded in 6 minutes, and that's because yesterday, 600 new armed police have put onto the streets of London. But as more information comes out about the attack, again, Norwegian, Swedish origin, we are starting to maybe point towards less of a mental health issue and perhaps others. So this just breaking, but tragic news that an American lady died here in this very busy part of London just last night. And of course,
do you hear that? They immediately say it's a mental health issue. When this story came out last night, I went through at least five different stories, and I'm thinking, why is this like they don't talk about the race of this person or where they're from? You know, it's the same story that we always struggle with, especially conservatives. You read a story about some politician who gets in trouble, and they don't list what party they're in, and then you have to go to Wikipedia to find out that they're a Democrat. You know, it's just so frustrating. So anyway, the news is constantly being filtered for your edification.
This was just yards from where, in 2005, Islamic terrorists blew up a bus and killed 26 people. So this square has a lot of importance in the mind of the English, and now, of course, also the connection to the other side of the pond. Back to you, guys.
You are right about that, Benjamin. And because of the nature of the history of that particular square, Russell Square, people immediately thought, is it terrorism again? According to local reports out of London, the attacker did not say anything during the rampage. And as he said, it could have been completely random.
Right. And it could have been even worse if law enforcement hadn't been able to step in, too, because Russell Square, very busy, and right near the British Museum, too.
Just keep in mind, ISIS did say we're coming to London next. And we did find out if ISIS did react quickly after the refrigerated truck plowed through all those people on Bastille Day.
Just
so we'll see what happens.
Still a tragedy, whatever the
circumstances. All right, so a random attack by a Somali Muslim. Sounds likely. All right, so let's you know what? I'm not going to play this thing by Neil. I just don't have enough time. It's kind of a long clip, or should I? Now we got other fish to fry. I don't have Ben coming on tomorrow, and I don't have Steve in the wings tomorrow either. So let me play that. It was entertaining. I've got to admit, it was good radio. And Neil Hooks called me a coward. So it was kind of a fun exchange. Or at least it was an insulting exchange. 6:30 a.m. Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450, and 805-6180. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Really appreciate you getting up early to join me. We'll be right back.
Many cooks are trying to spoil the broth. I can't feel it in my throat. That's all she wrote. I'm not feeling it no more.
All right, so some of the other things that came up yesterday was $400 million payment on the day to Iran that we got four hostages back. And in addition to we paid them $400 million in cash on the day that these people were released. The money was flown in an unmarked plane, not paid in dollars, paid in euros and in Swiss francs. And then the White House says, well, it's not a ransom payment. And under the theory that Obama and his crew work under, things are basically what we say they are. It might look like a ransom. It might be celebrated in the Iranian press as ransom, and in all practical purposes, in every particular element, it might look like a ransom, but because we say that it's not a ransom. So anyway, I mean, I think that you could draw, and a lot of times, you know, financial crimes are done this way. They're prosecuted by just implication, you know, and just without any kind of a confession, they go in and find that A, B, and C happened, and therefore the person's guilty. So if this was something that was prosecuted, I have no doubt it would be a slam dunk case that this was found to be an illegal payment. You're not allowed to bribe for hostages because it creates more of the same. Number one, and number two, in this case, they didn't send over dollars, so that would have been totally illegal as well. But anyway, the president, as always, is above the fray because he creates, you know, like the book of John in the beginning was the word. You know, Obama kind of, you know, creates reality. Reality comes into being through Obama's words. What a great super ability, huh? All right. I'll tell you about the weather in a second. I'll tell you about a weather before we get our own weather. But let me play this clip, a little bit of this clip for you of the call. This is a long clip. I kind of lean on like pared it down, but anyway, here is the call that comes in from Ralph, and you can decide for yourself whether it's racist. Check it out.
Thanks for the.
This is from yesterday.
Oh,
all right. So let me. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, it's Ralph again.
Hey, Ralph. Day three. What's up?
Hey, Kelly. You and this gentleman that just called in. You're being awful rough on poor old Obama.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know, okay. just give me a minute. I'll be up here. He's a mulatto. The whites didn't want him because he had black blood in him. The blacks didn't want him because he had blood in him. His mother shipped him out of the country. He couldn't even get his grades published because God only knows what they were. He hasn't even operated a shoeshine stand. The poor guy is in limbo. He's lost. Now that he has a little bit of authority, he doesn't know what to do with it. And he's just, in my days, now this is old, this gentleman here was 70-some years old. I'm way after 80. In my days, he was less valued than a cockroach. That's a fact. I mean, that is a fact. Remember Booker T. Washington, blacks?
All right, so that's basically what Neil Hooks was driving along and heard that, and then he called in, and I'm not going to play that for you because we were tight on our time today, but I'll play it for you tomorrow. Okay, so I'm re-listening to that, and I thought he, well, Neil says this is absolutely racist. I'm listening to this, you know, kind of trying to figure out where he's going with it. He's saying in his day, I took it to mean in his day, Obama, well, I took it to mean a couple of different things. So Ralph is over 80. So in his day, Obama would have no status. And that when he was growing up, he didn't have status because he was mulatto, half black, half white. So basically, and I'll play this for you tomorrow, Neil calls up and we're kind of, Neil had called in already. And then I made some, he's like, you know, why don't you challenge this guy? And I said, basically, and this is just, I guess, style or just my approach to life, but I don't put myself in the position to confront people on a regular basis on their beliefs. Although I actually confronted a fair number of people in my life, but I was kind of thinking about this last night. I was a little bit tired yesterday. I think I had like 4 hours of sleep, so wasn't really probably completely on my toes in terms of listening to this thing at the time. But here, let me play just a little bit more of this.
Alameda White, Grandview, Hispanics. And there was no place for the mulattos.
All right, so
that is the fact here in Las Cruces.
All right, so and the summary of your insights is what? All right, at this point, I'm trying to figure out what he's saying, but he did say that there was black and there was white, there was Hispanic, and then the mulattoes were in the center, and that they didn't have their own place, you know, basically, and that they had no more status when he was growing up as a cockroach. He said that, so that was his claim, and that also that Obama is lost. Basically, I take it to mean that he didn't know what if he was white or black, and he was rejected by his own people. His own mother walked out on him. His what he called the mothership. So anyway, here's a little bit more of this.
He has the worst of the white and the worst of the black. What can you expect from him?
I at this point, I don't expect anything but one heartache after another. I'm just praying he somehow gets out of office without starting World War III. All right, so that's the conversation that Neil calls in, and then I make a statement off the air, or when he gets off the thing, that basically that I'm tired of political correctness, and I'm tired of this idea that there's this set of things that we have to challenge other people for, including racism. And it's like, my opinion is, let people have their own opinion. And if somebody's a racist, they're not going to change their opinion because I confront them. They might not be as vocal in the future around me, but I am interested in what people think and what they believe. And Kathy had called in and said, I don't believe in PC either, because I want to know. Basically, I kind of re-listened to it. I think she was saying along the lines of, I want to know about all the racists and anti-PC people in the conservative movement. So my impression is there's more racists in the liberal movement, but that's just my impression. But then Neil called on and chastised me for not standing up to Ralph. And as I'm listening to that, I didn't really know where he was going with it. I didn't know what the meaning of it was. And I don't, just having listened to that now, Is that an outrageously? It's a racial summary and viewpoint, but was that a racist statement that he said? I don't know. I mean, I'm still. So anyway, that's just what happened yesterday. And tomorrow, I promise I'll play some more of it for you so you can hear what Neil's response was. 6:43 a.m. Las Cruces, a.m. 1450. You know, talk radio and good conversations to a certain extent go off of the element of resistance and disagreement. That's what draws people. So it's not bad to disagree. 6:43, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450, and 805-6180. When I come back, I'll read some of the texts that have come in. But if you think that I'm wrong and I missed obvious racism and I should have gone after Rob, call in. We'll be right back.
Kelly.
Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Kelly, it's Kathy. You know, I would have done what you did yesterday. I wouldn't have gone down on the old man and chewed him out. He is what he is. Let him express his opinion. If he's a racist, he's a racist. But you know where all of this is coming from? You know, last night CNN played video of Trump supporters.
Yeah.
And what's going on in the audience. That is the most disgusting thing I have ever seen in my life.
What happened?
And it's coming. And Ralph is the type of person that might be one of those things. It was, I can't believe they were yelling the N-word, the bigotry, the Hillary's a whore, and making fun of her weight. And, oh, my God, what's wrong with this country? Trump is pulling out the bad of everybody. Everybody that was afraid to come out and say what they really think, well, now they are. And, you know, in a way, that's okay, because I want to know who you are if you feel that way, and I want to stay away from you and your business, actually.
Well,
so,
I
think you did the right thing with the old guy. Wouldn't have done that,
To Neil, it was an outrageous racist statement by a Republican. I don't even know to this moment what Ralph believes in, you know?
I took it as, in my day, which would have been, he was saying that had to be 60 or 70 years ago, mulattoes were maligned by both black and white, and that's probably true, except it seems like he held on to the bigotry and has transferred that to Obama. You know, people's skin color is determined by how close their ancestors were to the equator, and that's it. And, you know, everything else you put into it, your bigotry into them. I mean, I feel sorry for them, but there's lots of people like them. They're at the Trump rally, Kelly. They're at the Trump rally.
Sorry. I got your... God dang it, sorry. I'm trying to get clips ready here. Well, did you want to say something on the air?
No, that was just to you. You did the right thing. I wouldn't have done anything to Ralph. There were a lot of other people.
Okay, thanks.
Anyhow, take care.
Same, thanks. Okay, so I just got a call from Kathy, and she said that she agreed with me not going after Ralph. I mean, what is racism? You know, so that's another question. What is racism? I mean, is it? I was kind of astounded. I got my sound up on my phones, but I was kind of astounded that Neil called me a coward. And here's the thing. To call somebody a coward, I think you would have to say that you understood what their mindset was. Now, I think Neil would have to assume that I heard, I mean, basically I had to have heard it like Neil heard it, which was that I heard that it was an outrageous racist statement and that it needed to be put down. And if I didn't put it down, I was a coward. And so my take on that is, even listening to that now, it sounded like social commentary. I know that Ralph doesn't like Obama, but it sounded like he had a racial understanding for why Obama is, in his opinion, an underachiever, because he's part of this group that had no status. But is that anyway? So maybe it's my complete lack of sensitivity as a human being and et cetera. But anyway, somebody just called in and I was talking to Kathy and I couldn't get the phone call, but call back if you want to. Here we go. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Mary.
Good morning, Mary. Hope you're well and appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I work for the state, and one of the things that I notice constantly, and with the federal government as well, is that we always, when we're filling out forms, we have to identify ourselves as something. And until the government can stop creating that idea that there are differences between us because of how we have to identify ourselves on forms, nothing's going to change.
I agree. It's ironic, Mary, it's ironic that things seem worse now than before Obama went in. I think people were hoping Obama would be a magician and make all these problems go away.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So
I think a lot of people felt that way.
Is it oppressive? Is it an oppressive atmosphere where you're at? Is it feel like a PC atmosphere?
Well, besides would like to talk about. I apologize, but I just feel the people that I work with, like the clients that I work with, I'm constantly asking them to make an identification for themselves as to what race they are, what ethnicity they are. We don't have to tell someone, an employer, how old we are anymore.
Right.
We need to step away from all that other stuff because it just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They want to keep statistics, but what for?
Well, all of this stuff is used against you one way or the other. The thing is that we want, really what I think Martin Luther King was looking for was beyond race, was race blind, was to be judged by the content of your character, not the color of your skin.
Yes, sir.
Are we headed in that direction right now, Mary?
No, I think we're stagnating, if anything.
Yeah, and you know what happens to things that stagnate.
Yes, I sure do.
Anything else? Oh, I'm sorry, Mary. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. that's good. I just wanted to mention that I just feel like until our government can change its attitude, Nothing will change.
I agree. And it starts when a fish goes bad, old Chinese saying, and when a fish goes bad, it starts at the head. So.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Thanks for the call, Mary.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day. Okay, you too, Bobby. All right. Maybe not first time caller, but I don't think Mary's called too many times. All right. Let me give you a little bit of weather because I don't think we've got any weather today loaded, and we've got a tropical storm that is in Central America right now below us, not Middle America above us. But so here's Earl, and I think Earl is going to touch us a little bit, but it's kind of slowly working its way up through Mexico. And this is from the Weather Channel, and I looked at the 5-day hurricane model, and it's just going to be up through Mexico, so it'll have some lingering effects, I think. And I had my sound down all the way. Check this out. I am a little bit of a comedy of errors here, speaking of Shakespeare.
Earl made landfall as a Category 1 hurricane early this morning in Belize City. There's a look at it before it came on shore, and there's the aftermath. Makes sense. They're about 3 feet above sea level, so flooding certainly a big issue there. Well, the hurricane has now weakened into a tropical storm, but still a lot of rain with this system. So this is the latest on what is now Tropical Storm Earl. Winds have come down to 65 miles per hour. The projected path keeps it over land. It could skim the Bay of Campeche, but it will weaken nonetheless. Still expected to bring a lot more rain. So we still have effects of this storm to come. Isolated rainfall up to 18 inches. Look in and around Mexico. That's where you can see some of the highest rain totals. Storm surge will still be a threat along with large waves.
All right. And that is going to be tracking up there. And there is a little bit about the monsoon season here.
That's southwest monsoon in high gear and leading to things like this. These arroyos, or these dry riverbeds, are designed to handle the water. Now, that doesn't mean you should be driving across that, you guys. There are barriers up for a reason, and there are flash flood watches up for a reason. So be aware, you know, in the desert southwest, it is that time of year where we get these rapid rainfall events where we see that very quick flooding occur. So that is a very big possibility heading through the next few days. We're really tapped into that moisture right now. Through the week, and some spots of 3 to 5 inches in southern Colorado, definitely a possibility. And we are still going to see several of those showers across Arizona. So beware as this water runs over roads.
So we got epic flooding in the last couple of days through Arizona. We've got rain that's coming through New Mexico. It looks like it doesn't hit us in El Paso. But, I mean, let's be honest. There is rain all around. Now, your forecast for today, 68 degrees, partly sunny now, high of 95, but they're calling for rain starting in about half of an hour locally. So factor that in, and we'll take a break and do a few ads, and then Ben Rossin's coming in. But anyway, thought it was interesting, but yesterday in the phone call, as I mentioned, the GOP only cannibalizes itself. So, you know, Neil calling me a coward, but I would just say in my defense, I think for me to have been a coward in that situation, I would have had to have drawn the conclusion that Ralph was making an outrageous racial, you know, the slur or something. And I didn't hear it in that. I mean, you know, so anyway, and that's really not my view of life anyway. I don't feel like I'm put on the earth to challenge people to be more politically correct. Anyway, we'll be right back.
The party, everything looked good. I was seeing through rose-colored glasses, not seeing the wood for the trees.
And so we're getting sponsored on the show by Ben Rossin. We appreciate that, and the Rossin Builder Supply, and also the law offices of Sam Kane. In pain, call Kane. And his number, 575-526-5263, specializing in personal injury. I've got one last little clip for you here on the Trump.
Eating frenzy, and the target, of course, is Donald Trump. Yesterday, I talked about how some pundits are actually questioning Trump's sanity, saying he's just plain crazy or he's unhinged, somehow turning journalists into psychiatrists.
Hamlet was crazy, and it worked out for him.
A little bit hard for me to understand how a guy who's just got so many screws loose somehow managed to win the Republican nomination. But now Trump is, look, undeniably in a rough patch of his campaign.
All right, so they're calling for Trump. The media is telegraphing Trump. It's time to drop out. And, of course, it's not. We'll take you out here. Speaking of dropping out for this hour, coming back with Ross. And if not, we're going to carry on, my friends. Carry on, my wayward son. 6:59 and Van Morrison here. Ooh, so juicy. We'll be right back.
They lock me out. I'm not feeling it no more.
Well, we got some headlines here for you. One of the headlines is that Clint Eastwood gets interviewed and says that it's a word that starts with a P generation, rhymes with cat, and that people need to get over, the so-called racism of Trump and deal with it. And he said, when we were growing up, the kind of stuff that's called racism today would not be called yet racism, which immediately made me think of my brouhaha, my barnyard squabble with Neil the Hooker Hooks. And Neil Hooks has a very high standard And, you know, I was thinking of, like, what would motivate him to call me a coward? And I think that he's got a perpetual campaign, and he's caught up in a battle, a life and death struggle with Bill Legay, Evangelist McCamley. And so that's got to be unpleasant. But I think that if you're running as in the GOP this year, this cycle, especially, you don't want to be seen as part of the problem, part of the racist problem. So anyway, I think in the Catholics call it a venial sin, not a mortal sin. So no problem, Neil. But anyway, we do have Ben Rossin here with the Rossin Report this morning. We're supposed to have rain. Let's see if there's any other news. Somebody was American was killed by a Somali knifist that they're saying don't assume it's radical Islam until we find out that it is in 3 days. But anyway, good morning to you. Good morning to. Oh, and one last thing: the martyred priest in France, his last words to the killers when they slit his throat: "Be gone, Satan." What? That's what I call having a set of cojones.
That sure is interesting, Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Kelly. You know, I had I lost my train of thought again there, Kelly. Hey, this morning I've got somebody special listening in. I've got my nephew built his own radio so that he'd be able to listen to the show this morning. And so I just want to give a shout out to Hayden. It's pretty neat, a great science experiment that he did. And glad he's listening in this morning.
Is he living in a Pacific island far, far from the mainland?
No, he's right here in Las Cruces and got a kit that allowed him to make a radio, and so he had to get it tuned correctly and everything, and just
wow.
It was neat to watch him doing that.
Cool, and his name one more time?
Hayden. So,
Hayden, good morning
to you. Good
morning
out there.
Thanks for building your own radio to listen to the show. I'm flattered.
Yeah.
Unless it's just to listen to Ben.
Well, you know, that uncle thing might have had something to do with it,
probably,
Kelly, but
probably
I'm sure it was you.
Probably had something to do with it. Anyway, maybe we can get Hayden on the show one of these days. But how's it going? What's going on?
It's going well. So my Rossin report this morning is about land use that NMSU has planned. They unveiled one of their new plans on Friday of last week. And for your listeners that aren't aware of this, Kelly, we're talking about the land off of Telshore and University area. The area right there that backs up to the existing golf course of NMSU. And they have several different plans in place. The first phase of the plan would be 16 acres of commercial development and 20 acres for medical offices. That would tie in closely with the hospital that's there and bring some additional development to that area of the community.
Good.
We've got their second phase is a little bit larger. Their second phase is about, 69 acres. A large portion of that would be used for residential development, for a continuum of care, for assisted living facility, and kind of as people need more and more care, there would be a facility there to help take care of that. And an additional 30 acres that would be used for commercial on top of the initial acreage that's in phase one. So we could see some very significant changes to that area of our community in the next 5 or 10 years.
And so what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think they'll probably end up moving forward with it. At the public meeting, there was no opposition. I think there's a few little things that have to be paid attention to, and I'm sure the university will take a look at those. But, you know, Kelly, the university land is not in the city limits. So think about it this way. You've got some commercial buildings that are there that have a very different tax rate. For example, they're in the 6% tax rate instead of the 8% tax rate. Just on gross receipts tax. So people purchasing things there would automatically save a little bit over 2%. You have things like property tax. They don't pay any property tax on that land. So if you've got a commercial building there, you have less expense because there's no property tax on it. So I think there's some things that need to be worked through. I get concerned because you create an uneven playing field with the other businesses that are already in our community. And so just being careful to do the right thing as we go through there. I had a conversation with one individual from NMSU who who commented that they were kind of happy they weren't in the city of Las Cruces because it would be much easier to get a building permit and get constructions going than having to go through the city of Las Cruces that is notoriously slow and cumbersome.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be a wake-up call to the city that here they are chasing business outside of the city limits because of how they're handling the permit process.
I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is it's an ideological position that the city has taken. They don't want growth. It's my understanding. Have you ever heard, now maybe as he said it out in the open and it's just on the record, but I had one business person who said he had an interaction with Ken Miyagashima, the mayor, and that it was an unproductive, unpleasant, whatever. And I said, what did he tell you? And he said, he told me that we are a no growth area. And I was like, how is that possible? Have you ever heard that?
I have heard that. I've heard that before, and I'm very disappointed about it. You know, it's important.
Well, I want to say one thing. I want to hear what you say here, but this leaps to mind. He's got his business. He's got his stuff, right?
Right.
He's got his ranch and his 1,000 acres. Anybody else who wants land can go, go down and jump in the creek.
Well, I think it's important to think back just a couple months ago to when we were having graduation ceremonies. You know, we have four large high schools in our area that each graduated several hundred children, or not children, graduates, high school graduates each. And then we have New Mexico State University that graduates a lot of people as well. Those people are out looking for jobs.
And they're in families. They're probably, there's a lot of local people that go to school there. Do the families want the kid to have to leave town to find a job, have to leave town?
Exactly where I was going with that, Kelly, because the problem is when we export our knowledge and our youth in that regards, it takes away from the family aspect.
When you have a religion, the Christianity in this case, and you have a heresy, the heresy is seen in church history to debilitate and take away from the vitality of the faith and of the religious community. The same thing happens with economic fallacies.
Keep going on that train of thought, Kelly.
Debilitating. You know, if you have this fallacy that you're going to have an economy that doesn't grow, there is going to be human victims.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Kid, can you get into a little bit more? I know that we mentioned it before, but your take on the city council coming in, and there were some articles in the newspaper about this, the city's analysis of the minimum wage.
Oh, sure. You know, I want to be a little careful because we have enough problems on our own on the county without tackling too many city ones. But yeah, you look at that analysis on the minimum wage, and what did they look at? They looked at gross receipts. They looked at permit activity. None of those really have anything to do with minimum wage. If you really wanted to look at minimum wage, you look at people that employ minimum wage employees. The construction industry is a great place to look. The restaurant industry is another great place to look and see how those have impacts. And I think we've seen a much bigger impact there than we have at the total GRT rate. You know, in my business, Ross and Builder Supply, our competitors come up from El Paso. And so we have people supplying doors and windows out of El Paso to Las Cruces, and they have a minimum wage that's $7.25. Ours in January will be $9.20, so a $2 an hour difference. That makes it challenging to compete when a builder is looking just for the lowest price. And so it's what happens then is the employees don't disappear. They just now have to live in El Paso to have a job instead of being an employee here in Las Cruces.
There's a human effect. A couple of years ago, there was 300 jobs created in one year in Dona Ana. When you heard that, what do you think?
I'd look back at the graduations and go 300, and let's see, how many do we graduate? It just, the numbers don't work.
It's tragic.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this: being in government, being in business, and this is for the people on the streets that are just working their job and they don't have any knowledge of what impact necessarily that the government decisions have on the economy and on people. Do government decisions and policy impact the economy?
Absolutely.
How?
Kelly? Well, I think you could easily look at just our community. Look at the city of Las Cruces compared to the four surrounding areas. So El Paso is growing at a greater rate than Las Cruces is. Deming has more gross receipts growth than Las Cruces has. TRC has more gross receipts growth than Las Cruces has. Alamogordo has more gross receipts growth than Las Cruces has. So when you take that, you go, well, there has to be something locally that's happening when all the way around north, south, east, west are growing at a larger rate than Las Cruces is. And I think that's clearly evidence of the local political scene.
And this is okay. So I'm talking about heresies in the religion, and I could come up with many examples, but I don't want to bore people. But an economic heresy, one of which is, here's just an easy one for anybody to understand. One economic heresy is the idea that minimum wage increases can be easily and seamlessly absorbed by business owners because business owners are by definition rich. They're in the rich class. And therefore, no matter how much you increase the minimum wage, you're just taking money from a wealthy, a fat cat, so to speak, and you're taking that money and you're giving it to the poor. And in that way, you're releasing money into the community and you're making an entire class of people wealthier. You or the lower class, you're building up the entire community. What's your response to this economic heresy?
You know, Kelly, I think plenty of small business owners that are listening would be astonished at that because they work extremely hard, extremely long hours. This is their baby that they put their life into to see it succeed.
Wait a minute. If you open a business, you're rich.
No. Kelly, I mean, most of the business we have are small businesses. In this community, the average employee base in a business is two people. So we're dealing with small businesses that have one or two employees, and that's all they have. It's mom and pop businesses that are the large, that's what our economy is based on here in Las Cruces.
We're talking to Ben Rawson. Let's take a break here. We're in the middle of the Rawson Report. It is 7:19, and a lot of stuff going on out there, but what are we going to focus on when we come back?
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about NMSU and then see if there's any callers.
523-1450 to call in, 805-61802 text. And it's Kelly here. You're listening, and I'm delighted that you've joined me today with Ben Rawson, who's the sponsor of the show. On AM Las Cruces, AM 1450 KOBE. We'll be right back. It's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, this is Neil. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, I like the way you put words in my mouth, like calling you a coward.
You called me a
but
coward.
I think I like that.
You called me a coward,
I think
Neil.
I like that.
It's on tape.
Kelly the coward. I think I'll call you that from now on.
Neil, you called me a coward. It's on the tape.
No, Kelly.
I listened to it last night.
I said you could have had a little bit more guts in dealing with Ralph the racist.
Well, Neil, I realize I'm not up to your level of conservatism, so you'll have to, you know, maybe you can pray for me.
Now, this is not a matter of splitting hairs. It was blatant, and you needed to say something. And it has nothing to do with my campaign. I care less about my campaign.
Neil, do you have opinion or do you have truth? Because if you just have truth, you're another elite and you're part of the problem.
Kelly, come
seriously.
On. You're talking nonsense. My gosh.
All right, so I disagree with you. I'm full of nonsense.
All right.
Right?
Have a good day, my friend. Kelly the Coward. Have a good day.
You too, Coward Caller. Just got a call from Neil. He feels he made a confession. He feels like he's been unduly influenced by Trump with the name calling. He's thinking of joining a convent so he can clear his head. But just kidding. Neil, so anyway, Neil called me a baby, called up and called me a baby and said I should have called Ralph out for his blatant and transparent. I still don't know what party. I mean, Neil, if you're listening, put on your Mouseketeer ears and listen here. If did it ever occur to you that there's a lot of conservative Democrats in this county, some of which listen to the show, and Ralph could be one of these, there's families out there for generation after generation. They're Democrat, and many of them are more conservative than the average GOP member. So we haven't heard the last of this, but let's keep Neil in our prayers. He's under a lot of stress. He's made his identity with Trump, and now that's beginning to crumble. But we've got Ben Rossin here for the Rossin Report. Ben, it's always great to see you on Thursday. Your big smiling face.
Well, I'm going to change the subject quickly since I obviously missed the excitement of yesterday's show. It's a good opportunity, Kelly, for you to blog real, or for you to plug real quick that anyone who wants to listen to yesterday's show could turn
blog
it on
radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Go on to and yes, I never mentioned it. Podcast and I live transmit my show through Blog Talk Radio. How do you find it? It's one word, Blog Talk Radio, one word, and then put Kelly O'Connell in there. That'll come up. And then if you can find, it should be the latest. It's a stack of shows. The latest show will be on the top. Ben, like I say, always great to have you on the show. And so we're going to talk about the land.
Let's jump back to the land use on NMSU. We kind of started there and got off a little bit. But for any listeners that want to have some input on this, they can go to my Facebook page, Benjamin Rossin, County Commission District 5, and they'll see the links on there. But where they're ultimately headed is masterplan.nmsu.edu. And it has, that's masterplan.
Sounds like something out of Scientology.
.nmsu.edu. And it has all the details on there about what they're doing. It's got some plans on there. It has a place for you to sign up for updates so you can see what they're envisioning and what that area of town could look like.
And what is your best case scenario in your mind?
You know, I'd like to see the additional growth out there. I think that's an excellent opportunity for commercial development. When you're looking at our community demographically, that's an area that needs some retail space, some commercial space. And so I think it makes a lot of sense to be over there. I think you've got opportunities with the hospital to take advantage there and to build that continuum of care that NMSU is talking about. So I think those are all good things. I continue to have a few little challenges there, and I think that those will get worked through.
All right. And is there any, I hate to keep bringing this up, is there any way to break through this idea that no growth is what is needed in Dona Ana? Do you know, have you ever talked to any of these people why they feel like we need, not just want, but need no growth?
Well, you know, I think there's some scare tactics that are used that we don't want to become a Phoenix or a Tucson, and I don't think either one of those are very realistic. You know, there's the concerns about water shortages. You know, we're sitting on one of the largest aquifers in the United States, south by Santa Teresa. Now it's all salt water, saline water. So there has to be a process to clean that up. But NMSU has been working on that for years and has some great ways to do that.
Desalinization plant.
That's right. So I think the water is an excuse more than anything
else. All right. So these guys have a political view of life, and part of their politics is no growth to save the planet.
To save the planet.
All right. So what, anything else? 523-1450. If you have a question, if you have a comment, and we do need to get a prayer chain together for Wayne Hancock because he has not been seen at any meetings. I believe he is in a shame and depression spiral out in hand. Where does he live?
I think he's been in Florida. But he did come back for the last county commission meeting.
He's back. Welcome back, Wayne. Come on my show. This is Kelly. I'll put you on hold. Thanks for the call. This is Kelly. Turn down your radio.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, you're on the air, sir.
Hey, I just got a question.
Who is this?
I know that talking about how this is Jeffrey, by the way.
Jeffrey, great to have you call in. I hope you've been well since you last called. What's going on?
I've been well. I just was looking at a overall census of all the states and stuff like that, where everybody ranks, and we rank 39th overall. But if you look at our GDP, it's horrible. I don't even think it was 1%.
Ben?
You know, I don't know the exact numbers, but you're right. It is terrible. It's very low. I would say that we're seeing some great increases down in Santa Teresa. We just got the latest export statistics out, and exports to Mexico have risen by 39.6% compared to the first quarter of 2015. And so that's some good growth there. I think we need to continue to encourage Santa Teresa and the growth there. That's really going to help our community.
Jeff, anything else?
But it doesn't only help Las Cruces very much.
Well, you know, since we're dealing with an area that's about 25, 30 minutes away, you're right, it doesn't help Las Cruces a whole lot, but any taxes that are received down there can be used throughout the county, and in fact throughout the state through the payroll taxes that they receive. So I think there's some good reasons to continue to support Santa Teresa.
Well, I'm not saying that we don't need to support Santa Teresa, because obviously that is a port of which exports can go out. But if we're not raising our GDP, because Santa Teresa could be used from other states to export things, correct?
Well, it can, but I guess what I was talking about, and I should have been a little more clear, is the manufacturing down there, because we have quite a few manufacturers are down there. We have the largest manufacturer of picture frames in the United States. They're located right there in Santa Teresa, 200,000-square-foot building of MCS. We've got FedEx that's building a new 300,000-square-foot building. They're looking at moving a second branch of their company to Santa Teresa as well to take advantage of the jet port there. So I think we've got some excellent opportunities and businesses that are locating there and creating some jobs right here in Doñana County.
Jeffrey, I got another call. Anything else?
Okay.
Thank you.
I was just going to say, what they're trying to do as far as educational-wise to support manufacturing coming in.
Yeah,
and I'll let you go with that.
They got to have at least a junior high equivalency. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, number two, what's going on?
Well, I just want to let y'all know that, Lucifer has taken over the world, and Obama is one of his Satans, okay?
All right.
So if you don't believe what's going on, look around. All your people, the cops even hate our government. So what is going on with these people falling asleep and all these idiots? The education system is totally ruined. It's for idiots. They raise them to be idiots. No morals, no guidance, nothing. They especially don't have any common sense. They're all idiots.
Jeffrey, let me ask you something. What religion are you in?
I'm a Christian, and I'm proud of it, and I believe in Jesus Christ.
You've got quite an echo going there. Anything else?
Tell Obama to go straight to hell.
All right. Thank you. Next time we're playing cards, I might mention that too. All right. That was like being at a rally.
You know, Kelly, that was a good example of leaving the radio on for effect.
That was good. All right, Ben, you got to go?
I'm out of here. Kelly, thank you very much, and I'll see you next Thursday.
Great to see you, man. Thanks so much for coming on. Rawson Report there, folks. Always keeping you on the cutting edge. We'll take a break here. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, 805-6180. Kelly, the coward. That's what Neil said I needed to call myself. We'll be right back.
While the river was the shade tree. Maybe when the snow is on the ground, yeah, I love you, and you're the most of all. When the leaves come tumbling down, when the leaves come tumbling down.
All right, so just had the Rossin report. That was good. Now we've got some different things going on. One of which is I've kind of got a little bit of a squabble with Neil the Hooker Hooks going on, and had to do with a statement by Ralph about the president being a mulatto and a cockroach. Well, I'm kind of summing it up. It was a longer kind of a sociological explanation for why Obama is lost and how things were in the old days. And Neil took that personally. He was offended by it. And that is good news for me, though, because Neil is a very, very conservative guy running against the homosexual apostle, Bill McCamley, the gay evangelist, the Swami of Salami, the Shah of Sodom, who now is trying to bring out a right to death bill. And I don't know if anybody sent Bill McCamley, the gay evangelist, down and explained to him that we're all going to get a little taste of death. We don't need a bill to get there. But anyway, I'm sure in the various fairy tales that Bill McCamley fills his mind with, there's got to be room for a little reality. But anyway, emphasis on fairy. You know, it's good news for Neil, because now I understand that Neil is fighting for political correctness. I think that will stand him well with the Messiah voters. In any event, we have got some storms going on here. Huge storms out in out in Arizona. There's a beautiful video. It's absolutely breathtaking, of a monsoon storm with a supercell coming down. It's just, you got to go to the Weather Channel and weather.com and look it up. It's just fantastic. Here's from the clip. You can't see it, but trust me, all right, in the middle of the desert, this beautiful storm cell bringing down the water.
It is monsoon season in the southwest, and that means you're going to see a lot of time lapses like this over the next couple of months. It's become kind of popular over the last couple of years, and you can just get these amazing views of microbursts, or as some people have been calling it lately, rain bombs. And there's a big uproar in the meteorological community right now. I don't even know what it was. I think somebody just wrote an article and called it a rain bomb. Well, you know what? Other meteorologists, it kind of is a bomb of rain, isn't it? I think we should stop getting our knickers in a twist about this stuff. Like, it's really not that big of a deal. Because a microburst is basically just a huge area of cold air at the top of the storm along with rain that drops like a bomb toward the ground. Okay, it's just a figure of speech. It's not that big of a deal. Now, look, if people are saying this is a new phenomenon called a rain bomb, okay, I get it. That's a bad thing. But either way, I'm just enjoying the visuals here. I mean, that is unbelievable to watch, isn't it?
So when you're looking at this thing, it actually, like some of these pictures, it looks almost like a nuclear test where you've just got a column from the ground going straight up and then miles high. And then it gets above and then it almost looks like a mushroom cloud on top of it. So it's really, really beautiful stuff. And I've got a little more weather. I guess I should have been a meteorologist, but it's really fascinating where the weather comes from and the different variations, and not to mention global warming. I wonder if Neil fights for that. But here's a little bit on a huge wedge tornado roaring across North Dakota, kind of near us, not too close, not too far. Fortunately, not too close. Another one from the Weather Channel. And there is another clip in here. A Wyoming storm had turned summer into winter. There was hail. There was so much hail that it was indistinguishable from a snowstorm. But here's on wedge tornado, and this is from yesterday. All right, okay, and it's one of those clips where there's no words. There's just the video going on. But go to weather.com. They always have these great little clips. Most of them are under a minute. So, but it seems that, you know, it seems like there are tornadoes all across the country now. Maybe there always was, and I really didn't notice it. All right, so we got a few minutes left here. Panic over the Trump candidacy. Is he going to get out? I don't think he's going to get out. But if he gets out, he's going to blame the media. But I think what he ought to do is batten down the hatches. And, you know, he made it through 17 of the best politicians of that the Republicans could muster. There's no harm in taking a step back, taking a breath, and focusing on what the reason that people have been supporting him. People are supporting him because they want to hear him attack Hillary, and they want, I mean, if he drops out before he goes toe to toe with Hillary, it's going to be the worst lost opportunity in history, because she desperately needs somebody to attack her, specifically on all of these corrupt things that she's done. All right. So take a break here and come back and talk a little bit more about ISIS and what they're up to. Kelly O'Connell, 743, and grateful to have the Rawson Report to support the show, and also the law offices of Sam Cain, 575-526-5263, and he's focusing on personal injury. Be right back. Baby, I need your kind of loving. What loves my whole life through. Baby, I need your kind of loving. You know nobody else will do. You know that nobody else will do. Flying the friendly skies at 747 here. And all right, so in the last 30 days, you know how many Muslim radical attacks there were? According to the religionofpeace.com, who's got a list, in the last 30 days, there were 141 Islamic attacks in 22 countries. That's a lot, isn't it? There could be 142 because of last night's attack in London. You know how many people died? 1,165. So that's almost 10 person per attack, and another 1,803 were injured. Now, the vast majority of these you didn't hear about. What does it say about this religion that they believe that God is pleased by random attacks against non-combatant people to a large extent? What kind of a God do the radical Muslims follow? What kind of a God that would favor the killing of just totally random people? You know, many of the people that were killed in these attacks were actually Muslims anyway, so what God are they following that they believe are would be pleased for men, women, and children to be blown to smithereens, or shot, or knifed, or run over by a truck? Who is the God, and is that God that the radical Muslims follow? Is it the same God that is in the Quran that the rest of the Muslims follow? Isn't that the question? All right, so I've got a little report here. ISIS defector describes group's interest in Western attacks. And let me just get this thing cute. Well, let's do this. Let me, I've got, this is with Mad Cow. And let's see if this will keep play right now. It's stuck a little bit. Well, let's take a break, and I'll see if I can find it on YouTube. Be right back. Kelly O'Connell. All right, so I couldn't get that to play, but there is another story that that is showing a map of an increasing map across the world. Now, the president and others in the West have told us that ISIS is shrinking, and that's why they're lashing out. And but I just saw something, and I probably won't be able to find it. ISIS is calling for attacks across England, Germany, and France. And there is apparently a map out there in which the ISIS is growing across the globe. So ISIS has a program for training shooters internationally, in other countries. So maybe tomorrow I can find some. Let me do some research tonight on this and see what I can find out for you. But here is some of your headlines, though. United Nations is backing a secret Obama takeover of the United States police. And let's see what else here. Supreme Court grants emergency order to block trans male student from using boys' restroom. Carlos Slim in Mexico pushing for a 3-day work week. This is globalism. Global socialism. And the fear of people, and the reason that I think Trump is important, why Trump is being supported, is that he is representing one person who's not part of the elites. Now, some people say he's a billionaire. Of course, he's part of the elites. But the idea is that there's going to be this group of people who, at the highest levels, have no real differences with one another. So if you're backing Republican or a Democrat, it doesn't really matter because they believe in the same policies. So somehow these elites, which include Paul Ryan and I think Mitch McConnell and a lot of these people, believe in elitism or globalism. And so once you move, and it's kind of the same type of a trick that multicultural brings in, you might be totally opposed to something in your own life, in your own community, but if somebody in another country does this thing or believes in this thing and brings it to America, you have to accept it. It's a fallacy. Now, these globalists seem to apply the same logic to internationalism. Things that would be totally unacceptable on a national level, a state level, a local level, are totally acceptable internationally. So therefore, we have to, because we want to be part of the future, we want to be part of this global, supposed global utopia, this global day of prosperity and peace and everything, which is what these people secretly are thinking they're bringing to us, you have to accept all these things. And then once again, it's a fallacy. It's a fallacy to think that if something is wrong locally or wrong in the state, whatever, wrong in America, that if you put it in an international context, it suddenly becomes totally acceptable. That's absurd. Here's another story of Sharia law, though, and still want to know if this Khan, this Wrath of Khan, this Khan father, this Khan artist that has got up and gave the speech about his son, if he believes in Sharia. I guarantee you he believes in Sharia. He wouldn't be up there making the kind of points he's making. Report defended Sharia law responsible for execution of gays and women in 11 countries. Isn't that interesting? And gay refugee found beheaded in Istanbul. Burqa-clad attackers beat pregnant woman for revealing clothing. So, all right. So running out of show here, time for the show. And so anyway, to recap, yes. So I'll play that. I'll play more of that clip yesterday. This Neil and my barnyard squabble over whether Ralph is a racist or whether he made a racist statement. I'm not even convinced Ralph is a racist, although he said some kind of a few, you know, things on the show that might lead some people to believe that he is. But I'll play this clip and this interaction between Neil and I, and you can decide for yourself. Here, we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Jesse.
Jesse, what's up? Thanks for the call. You got 1 minute.
I know you only got a couple minutes here, but, you know, so the statements that were made yesterday by Ralph,
yeah,
they were matter-of-fact type statements that was made when he was a younger man.
Right.
Now, is he a racist or not? Only he can say what is or not. I totally support you because whether he comes on and says his points of view, whether he's a racist or whether he's not, that's what you're there for. Otherwise, if you're not there to allow people to discuss and say what they want and what's on their mind, then you might as well be CNN or MSN or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I agree 100%.
All right. Anyway, I support you 100%.
Thanks, Jesse. Drive safe. All right. So anyway, well, you know, Neil's a good guy. I don't really have a beef with him. I was shocked when he called me a coward, but you know, maybe I need to do a week of Kenny Rogers so I can play Coward of the County. 7:59, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces. Here's beautiful Van Morrison. I need your kind of love and have a great day. And I need your kind of listenership. It's been great hanging out with you. Have a wonderful day. See you in 22 hours. Ciao. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450.
Warmer and the grass begins to grow.